Well, it's good to be here. I've been traveling a little bit, so it's good to be back home where it's a little warmer, and good to be here to be your speaker this morning and appreciate the opportunity. You know, some time back I mentioned I had the adage, the little story about, you know, my grandfather would tell you things aren't taught the same as they were in his day. They told my dad that. My dad tells me that. Things aren't taught the same way. We don't teach the same things. We don't cover the same topics. And then I'm finding myself saying that to my son, saying, hey, you know, I don't hear that anymore. Don't talk about that. So in light of that, brings me to the topic of my lesson this morning and why I'm going to speak on what I do. You know, typically these lessons would be, we'd do something like on a Wednesday maybe. Maybe not necessarily a Sunday morning, but then we miss so many other folks that we need to needs to be refreshed and hear these things. So this morning, the Bible says David danced. Let's just get right into it. David danced. So what's wrong with dancing? You ever think about that? 2 Samuel 6:14 is where I pulled that from. And David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was girded with linen and ephod. So we have an example of dancing in the Bible, don't we? Well, this is kind of like the wine situation. There's a lot of Christian liberties and freedoms taken unjustly on topics that are not properly vetted, if you will, rightly divided. There's a lot of things that we have opinion about and certain stipulations we put on it that aren't scriptural, that we say, well, because of this, we can do it, or because of that, we can't. So today, I want to do my best to try and bring out what the Bible talks about dancing. We have dancing in the Bible. David, a man after God's own heart, danced before the Lord. You know, dancing is a big thing with us. It may not be for you individually, but it's going to be for our children, for our grandchildren. It may be for you as adults. I just got back from a business trip, and you know, sometimes those, you know, at night people want to go out and dance as a group and want to do these things. Your kids in school. I know when I was in school, PE class, I don't know if they call it PE anymore, but it's what it was when I was there. Physical education, for those of you who don't know what PE is. It was required from kindergarten on. You danced in school, and you danced with other partners. You danced with females and males. They mix up the partners, male with female, female with male. You danced. They taught you dance. So to think this doesn't affect the church, it doesn't affect us today, it doesn't affect us as Christians because my children are grown, we're wrong. It does. Because we got to keep teaching these things. We got to keep talking about what the God says about the whole will of the Lord. We don't just preach part of the word or get tired of part of it or think we're past that and move on. We're never past any part of the will of the Lord. We've got to continue to refresh our minds and be refreshed on it. You know, I got to think about when I was younger, this was required training from elementary school on till you get to about junior high. Then they quit having PE classes and elective. But they have all types of dance. They dance in school. They dance at assemblies. We have all kinds of events and things that this is in a factor in all of our lives. Whether it's individually or as our kids grow and have their own kids, it's going to be part of something we need to set the example for and talk about and have the word of God rightly divided in these areas so they can be educated before these things become an issue and become a problem in the church. And there, like I said, there's very many ideas about dancing. People have made up their opinions on it based on certain criteria. They can do it, can't do it, however it may be. But one thing I want to look at, and the scripture says this, Galatians 5:19. You all know this verse as well. Lasciviousness is condemned. So what is that big word, lasciviousness, that we don't use in today's modern English? Well, it's absent of restraint, indecency. It can be called shameless conduct. Now your mind's already thinking, okay, I can picture this in modern day dance already, can't we? So my lesson's done. We're done here. No, we're not. We're going to continue on a little bit longer. I'll keep you a little while longer. But this is what we look at in the sins of lasciviousness. In Galatians chapter 5:19, the works of the flesh, it's lewdness, it's sensuality. Okay, there's another big hit to dancing, sensuality. Mark 7:21, Jesus says, this is what defiles a man. These things, one of the things that defile a man, it's labeled on those things. So is dancing a big issue? Well, as we look at the categories of what lasciviousness is, and we look at dancing, we have to say, yes, this is very big, a hot topic we need to look at and study and consider what the Word of God has to say. You know, Greek says it like this. It says, it's unbridled lust, wanton acts and manners, filthy words, indecent bodily movements, unchaste handling of males and females. That falls under lasciviousness. We don't think about that, do we? It's more than just one category. It's a broad category. It's a broad category. The English word for it breaks it down. Exciting sexual desires is simply what it puts. So anything which causes us to sin, word, deed, body, whatever it may be, movements, handling, is considered sinful under lasciviousness. These things are the sins that Galatians 5 is talking about. These and not to exclude any others, but this was the focus here we're talking about now. Stirring up of sexual desires is a problem. with a Christian. We're not to be part of that. We're not to be aroused by that. We're not to cause that. These type of expressions or things of sexual content, not the arousal, but the sexual content part of this thing, Hebrews chapter 5, or 13 puts it this way, real simple. Marriage is honorable and all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. When we deal with sensual desires and sexual content, that's where the Bible puts it at, marriage. End of story. It is between man and wife married, and that was godly given. These other acts, these other things that we can catch ourselves in are not given by God. They're sins of lasciviousness. They're sins that can cause us to lose our soul, salvation. Jesus said, dealing with dance, Jesus says it like this. He says that desire or that lust that can be aroused in somebody, he says in Matthew 5:28, but I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman and lust after her hath committed adultery already in his heart. So dancing has a lot of visual to it, doesn't it? It's probably 50% visual because most people are watching somebody dance, maybe more than 50% if you put the numbers to it, but it's a visual thing. Oh, I'm doing it to release energy in my expression. That may be so, but there's another part to this. There's the viewer part of it. It says be careful that you don't lust after something because you can be committing adultery already in your heart. So we have a responsibility as Christians not to even be entertained by that. Not only not to participate, but not to be entertained by that and desire that and lust after those things that we should not have. These things were committed between a man and a woman by God in Hebrews chapter 13. Jesus says, don't do these things. Don't lust after a woman of any type, because Matthew 5:28 says you can be condemned. You can be committing adultery. If this isn't your spouse, you could be committing adultery. You know, and this brings us back to dance. Let's just say this. Some people say, well, I only dance with my wife. I'm going to stick with the dancing theme, obviously. Well, where do you dance with your wife? That's the next question. Can I say dancing is absolutely 100% wrong to do it? Well, I'm not going to say that, and here's why. Because there's a privacy of the home that things are allowed under marriage. But if I dance with my wife in public, we'll get to that in a minute, but how can I control the environment? That's one of the concerns we have in Christian living today. People say, well, I'm only dancing with my wife. I'm only slow dancing. I'm only couples dancing. It's just me and her. We're married. That's right, according to the Lord. Well, it's not according to the Lord. It's not right. And I'll get to that in a minute. Dancers respond to spontaneous reactions. It's a spontaneous reaction, more or less, sometimes, to the beat of a music, the beat of a drum, the sound of singers, which is defined in the scriptures, too, when it talks about dancing. There's singing involved sometimes. There's vocal and musical instruments. Sounds being played or harped, and these things are causing people to dance. There's close proximity to a partner sometimes. Not always, we know that, but there's close proximity. There is handling and touching of another. Now, we keep hearing these things being said from the pulpit, and think, wow, this doesn't sound right, does it? It doesn't. 1 Corinthians 7:1 says, now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Well, we got a problem. That PE gym class, they pair you up, male, female. You're handling, you're touching, you're whatever little nursery rhyme you may be dancing to, it doesn't matter. Now, these are kids, but eventually kids are going to grow up, aren't they? Do we want our kids to be practicing these things and growing up in these things? It is not good for a man to touch a woman. Not that man, word man, it wouldn't be as equally as good. That doesn't mean it's good for a woman to grow up a man. That's not what we're saying here. The point is, it's not good for unmarried to touch one another. Merriam-Webster says like this, dancing. To move one's body rhythmically, usually to music, to engage in, perform dance, dancing to our favorite song. Seems harmless. Primary leap to spring to hence leap or move with measured steps. Regulated by a tune, sung, or played on a musical instrument to leap, step with graceful motions of the body corresponding with the sound of the voice of the instrument. The English Oxford Living Dictionary says it's a noun like this. It says, the activity of dancing for the pleasure or in order to entertain others. That's the purpose of dancing by the English Oxford Living Dictionary, to entertain others. The question here is, what is that entertaining of others too? Not only have we participated in dance, but the Bible, the dictionary even says it's to entertain. Christians shouldn't be making provisions for the lust of the flesh. And that's what Jesus said in Romans 14, 13, 14. Paul said, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions, excuse me, I'm having a hard time with that word, for the flesh to fulfill the lust therein. We're not to give opportunity for it. We're not to make an open door for it. We're not to create a situation or embed or enable that situation, to draw it, to pull it out, to engage or help others engage in a possibility of sin. Now, let's go back to dancing. Think of any type of dance you want. How have we lined this up with the scriptures so far? The scriptures are pretty plain on the sins of the flesh, the works of the flesh, the desires, the things that we shouldn't be part of. The world is very vague and broad on dancing and how well it's accepted and what's not accepted when you put worldly opinion to it, worldly attitude. Well, we only did the two-step, or we only did the waltz, or we're doing the hokey-pokey, or whatever it may be. We were doing square dancing. It was harmless. It's harmless. It was done before school. It was done with the teacher standing there. Really? I didn't know the teacher had mind control, because it says the mind is part of the problem. The visual is part of the problem. How can you control that? You can't. I can't control that. You can't control that. And we'll get to that in a minute. We can't control those things of an individual. What we can do is do what the Bible tells us to do and prevent and protect against those things. We can't control the thoughts of others. And that's the thing I hear. Say, well, I dance, but that's there on them because I can't control the thoughts of others. Well, I agree. We can't control the thoughts of others. Absolutely. It's on them. Well, is it? We just talked about the scripture. We're not to make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lusts therein. We're not to give an open door to it or allow somebody else to have an open door to it, to help somebody pass through the door of sin. Come on in. That's contrary to scripture in Christian living. We can't control the thoughts of others and the thoughts and minds of others. We're not to look upon a woman and lust after her for the desire to have her. It says that's a sin. We've committed adultery with her already in our hearts. So Christians must always be aware of our conduct, our words, our actions before others. When? All times. All times. In front of your boss? Yeah. School? Yes. Your neighbor? Yes. All the time. All the time. We got to be aware of these situations and what is making an opportunity for someone to sin. Or maybe we're putting an opportunity to cause someone to sin or to invite sin into their life. Whether it be ours is one thing, inviting others is another. We don't want to give them a platform to do so. We don't want to open that opportunity. And we're thinking about amongst Christians even. You know, if I think it's okay to do one thing and somebody else is kind of weak on that subject, you say, well, Dan does it, I'm going to do it too. We both may be wrong. And now I've led somebody into sin I'm in. I've opened the door, invited them on in. Come on in, enjoy what I enjoy. I don't believe it that way. Come on in. We got to be careful and hold the line on righteousness and not draw others to sin. And since that brings me back to the comment I made earlier about dancing, well, I only dance with my wife in public. It was an event, it was a slow dance. I dance with my wife. Hey, I'm married to her. It's good, right? We can't control the thoughts of others. Was it in public? Yes. Was it in view? Yeah, probably. Do you know what everybody was thinking in that room? You don't know who looks at somebody and has desires for them. We can't control it. The Bible tells us that. That's a scary thing. Well, you're right, Dan. I can't control it. Therefore, I'm not responsible. No, we're responsible for putting ourselves in a position that could draw somebody to think certain things. Have we done all we could to avoid it? We can't control it. They can still think it. But if we've done everything we can to avoid those situations where we've drawn somebody into lust or not drawn them into lustful things by not participating in something that could cause it, that's accountable to us. Have I done something that could draw somebody to sin? Or have I done everything I can to prevent it, but they still sin anyway? That's on them. As long as I've done what the scriptures say about avoiding that situation, avoiding drawing someone into sin. I only dance with my wife in public. That's great. Well, then some woman may be looking at you. It may not be your wife they're looking at. Some guy may be looking at your wife on the dance floor going, man, she looks good. Those thoughts start coming. We've drawn somebody to start thinking, didn't we? We draw on somebody to possibly start lusting in their hearts. We don't know. We can't control minds. We can't control thoughts. We think we know people. You don't. And most of the time dancing, let's just put it this way. We have music. We have singing. What comes next? Alcohol. lack of clothing, indecency, words are said, things are talked about, jokes are told. It's a party. It's reveling. So guess what? The Bible says don't be a reveler. There's another reason why we shouldn't dance, because the situation it puts us in is a bad one. Well, a fight broke out and this and that. I was just there enjoying myself. I wasn't doing anything wrong. You shouldn't have been there. Shouldn't have been there. We shouldn't put ourselves in that position. We shouldn't put ourselves in a position to open sin in our own life alone, open the door for others to follow us and come in and sin. The Bible says make no provisions for this. Dancing with your wife in public may not be the best thing, huh? Because the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, those things are attacking everyone. And we don't know what desires we're causing others to have by doing so. Now, can I say it's wrong in the privacy of your own home, you and your wife, to dance? I can't say that. I know the Bible allows provisions for married couples in the privacy of their own homes for things that are not allowed to the unmarried and in public. We're not to be a stumbling block. And that's tough because we're role models. You always hear these pro athletes say, I'm not a role model. Well, you're really not, I agree, but somewhat you are because you're in the public eye. I don't look at any pro athlete as I love that guy. I'm an athletic fan. I'm not an individual fan. But the Bible says don't put stumbling blocks in the way of anyone. Romans 14:13, you all know the scripture well. Let us not therefore judge anymore one another anymore, but judge this rather that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall on his brother's way. Don't create the situation. Don't lead somebody by purposeful or even accidental. We got to be cautious of what we're doing. Don't draw somebody away to sin. And people say, well, it's my Christian liberty to do this. Well, we misuse that word, Christian liberties, and I don't believe the Bible's talking about dancing in public and creating a lustful situation. I know people try to misuse that scripture. And this has happened in the church where folks believe there's times to dance and times you can't in public, and I disagree. I think the best way to approach this situation is to avoid it altogether. Avoid it altogether. Then we can't be guilty of putting an occasion for my brother to stumble. I can't be drawing somebody into lust because I wasn't participating in it publicly. I didn't do it. I wasn't there. I wasn't around it. I didn't step on the edge of sin's door and say, hey, I'm still on the righteous side. Here's the drop-off right here. But I'm on this side. I didn't play that line. We stepped away. And that's the best way to approach it. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whether therefore you eat or drink, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. That's what Christians are to do. Do all to the glory of God. So I got to ask myself, is this situation I'm in and what I'm participating in, is there any way it glorifies God? If the Lord came down today, this very minute, would I feel good about what I'm participating in this very minute? Would I have time to repent if I didn't? The Lord's going to come quick. Time is no more. You know, you catch yourself doing that, you get angry, you get mad, you go, oh, wait a minute. Is this the situation I want to be found if the Lord would come down from the clouds right this moment? If we hear that trumpet blow and time stops. Do you ever do that? I do. I do it and think, wow, okay, you got to rethink, readdress, or refocus, or think, okay, am I in the right? That's how you check yourself. And you check it not according to how you feel about it. It's according to the Word. We check it according to God's Word. What would the Lord expect of me if he was standing here? What would he expect if he came this very moment? What I just did, would I be proud of? Could I stand before judgment? We're not to have that. We're to give God the glory in all things we do, word, deed, and body. 32nd verse says, give none offense neither to the Jews nor to the Gentiles nor to the church of God. Don't cause anyone. Don't give them an opportunity to sin. Don't lead them into sin, whether it's the Jew, the Gentile, or the body of Christ in general. Don't lead this sinful practice. Don't give them an opportunity to sin. Don't invite that sin into their lives too. Put a stop to it. Otherwise, we all fall into grave condemnation. We'll all fall down into the pit. Matthew 18:6, but whosoever shall offend these little ones, Jesus says this, but whosoever shall offend these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he was drowned in the depths of the sea. But woe unto the world because of offenses. For it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. Well, this little children one can be translated. He was obviously using little children as example in this story. But the context of the scripture is those Christians, those little ones, those innocent souls, don't lead the innocent to sin. Don't lead the righteous to sin. Don't lead a brother or sister of Christ into sin. But those offenses come, and those woes are serious. And we're going to get into that with our Revelation studies. There's going to be some things come up in a few months. We're going to talk about those. Those woes, great grief, suffering. Woe unto you. That's not a good word. Woes are not good to the hearer, the one that's receiving that. It says we are not to offend. We're not to do anything to cause somebody to be in a sinful situation. Whether I sit there and boldly say, well, it's my right, and I'm just dancing with my wife, and then get over it, that's a bad attitude to take. That's non-godly. That's non-godly. We're to be conscious of the others. We're to be conscious of where we stand before others, how it could be perceived. And if we've done all we can to keep the perception in a good sense, then we're not responsible for the mind and thoughts of others. If we're doing things and we draw them away, we have nothing to stand on but our own thoughts, don't we? My own opinions. The other thing we hear, and this is one that came up in years ago. I've had this study with other folks. Dancing is good exercise. Yeah, okay. Make a case for that, can't you? There might be other ways to exercise. Can you think of any? That won't excite lust of the flesh in yourself or others? Think about that. Are you willing to become a stumbling block to others to just jazzercise? I know, I just dated myself 1980s, but that's okay. Well, let's just throw another one out there. The Olivia Newton-John workout. I think that was pre-satellite. Come on regular cable, regular TV. Do the Olivia Newton-John workout to her top hits. We had the Jane Fonda workout, etc. All these dance videos is really what they were. They were dance. And you ever see them, they're all lined up in their tights, and they're all, the whole group of them dancing and getting together. Then not to mention the old modern. I'm not going to go into the modern ones. I'm just going to stick with the pre-1990 stuff here. But these dances were not new or uncommon in the name of exercise. People say, well, Dan, you know, I'm only doing it with the same sex. It's just a bunch of women getting together doing this. Then you walk down the strip mall, you're walking down the street, you see this plate glass window, and there's 30 women lined up doing the dance before the whole parking lot. It's a plate glass window. They're not doing it in the privacy of their own home. Now, I got another problem to say about that, too. With the way people have muddled the marriage between man and woman and what the roles of the sexes, you're now with women that may have a desire for you. You're now doing it with just men that have a desire for you, because what you're doing, you're drawing their lust, lustful thoughts, intentions towards you. It's no longer just male with female. You got to concern yourself with. But this dancing is always done in the public eye. It's done before a plate glass window. It's done in the middle of the gym. You go to the big, I don't care what gym you might go to, LA Fitness, where they got a big window, and there's jazz. They're doing some type of dance, aerobics, or whatever it may be in there. Now they got pole dancing as an exercise. They got all these things that are coming out with the name of exercise, and people are just lining up to do it. How appropriate is that? Could I jog? Could I ride a bicycle? Could I do something else to exercise? Absolutely. This is not the end-all exercise to get in shape. It is not the end-all to be conditioned. If we desire to be in shape and work out and condition, this may not be the best situation for us, because dancing is dancing. Lewdness is lewdness. Lasciviousness is lasciviousness. And we still can't control the thoughts and minds of the folks in that class, can we? Even if it's in a closed four-wall room with no windows. It's not in the privacy. It's with others. So dancing is mentioned in the Bible. You know, there's four characteristics that I kind of just kind of highlight on real quick, and time's not going to allow us to go through everything, and these are not all-inclusive, that's for sure. But the Bible says it like this. There was religious dances of the Old Testament. The women in Exodus chapter 15, verse 20, after passing through the Red Sea, it says they danced. They danced on the other side of the Red Sea. David in 2 Samuel, which was our intro, we talked about David dancing. 2 Samuel 6:14, after the ark was brought to the city of David, there was dancing. There was joy. There was elation. They were happy. They danced, it said. That great joy continued on in 1 Samuel chapter 18 and 6, and David returned from the slaughter of the Philistines. Guess what? The women danced. Children, it is referred to as dancing. Job 21, Luke 7, it talks about the children dancing. So, Dan, how can you say, you stood up here for 10 minutes and talked about dancing is wrong, and it's part of the sins of the flesh, it's lasciviousness, all these things are wrong and evil? Because I think when we look at, I don't think, I know, when we look at the Bible, it has a different term for these words than what we put on them sometimes. It's just like love and wine. You know, everything's all love is the same and all wine's the same. It's not. The Bible has different definitions. It's broke down, translated through Greek, has different meanings. Dancing here, the original form, means to whirl, to jump up and down, jump for joy. They were excited. spring about, jump, skip. You're jumping up, down, pumping your feet. Now, I'm not going to do it because I'll probably hurt myself, but you're jumping up and down, pumping your fist. Yeah, yeah. That was dancing, not what we see today. That's the biblical dancing we're talking about that happened in these situations and many others. It was jumping for joy. It was excitement. It was clapping their hands, stomping their feet. Sometimes it was marching in a row by definition, but it was jump for joy. It seems to be the most common, to jump, skip, to whirl about in a circle, just spin in a circle. Woo-hoo! People are excited. That was the dance that we're dealing with here. It was to leap with regularity, if you will. So we see David dancing before the Lord. He wasn't getting down to his latest tunes in his iPod, I can tell you that much. He was jumping and leaping for joy, and he had inner peace in him. He was letting the glory of God. He was so excited about it. He jumped for joy. He was excited, ecstatic. That's the kind of dancing we're dealing with here in all these situations. They were dancing. Sometimes it was all women. Sometimes it was just David. There was never a situation where we see couples dancing hand in hand, close proximity. The group of women would dance by themselves. They were jumping for joy and cheering because the men had been at war. They're coming back to the camp and they're going, yeah, all the women. They're jumping up, glad to see the success of God's word in David's army coming back. The ark, so glad to have that ark of covenant back. David jumped and jumped for glee and joy. Children jump and skip and hop and play. That's a child thing. It's not the dancing they have in the PE classes nowadays with music and hand-holding and all that. They're just excited. Kids, these little kids hop around at the earliest age. They start skipping and running around and acting all goofy. That's dancing. By definition, that was dancing. These are all different than what we see in the New Testament. We see in the New Testament, the daughter of Herodias, we all know the story, Matthew 6, Mark 14. And I'll just read Mark 6, 22. It says, when the daughter of the said Herodias came in and danced and pleased Herod, and then them that sat with him, the king said unto the damsel, ask me whatsoever wilt thou, and I will give it thee. Well, we know the story. I'm not going to go into the full story, but her mother was kind of shunned by John the Baptist. Her mother was vindictive. Her mother sent her daughter out there to dance in a provocative way before the king. She did it for a purpose and for intent of evil, and she wanted John the Baptist's head cut off and delivered her on a platter because she was turned down by John the Baptist. She was upset. She couldn't lure him into sin, but she's going to have him killed and lure her daughter into sin to do it. She's willing to prostitute her daughter, for lack of better words, send her out there for gain. This was very uncommon at the times, if you look at history, where someone of power or might would have his daughter dance before a room of men. It wasn't even common for that to happen at all. And so the very fact that her mother sent her out there to dance would give you an indication of the mindset behind all this, how evil spread. And she knew this dance was enticing. It wasn't a dance of jumping up and down, going, ooh, I praise God. Nope. She wasn't praising God. She was angry. She wanted revenge on John the Baptist. She had her daughter go out, and all indications and historical accounts of this, which was a more of an erotic type of dance, something to entice, to stir up, to get the passions flowing, because he's willing to give her half his kingdom. Oh, man, whatever you want, I'll give it to you. I just want John the Baptist's head and charger. Now, which dance does that sound more like? Does that sound like the godly dance that the Bible talks about that was done before God himself? Or does this sound more like modern day dance that we see starting in our elementary schools on up? In every TV show and every commercial and any event you go to, is there's some type of something going on, it seems like. This is the one time we hear of a modern type of dance in the scriptures. And I might make note, there's no touching involved here that we know of. It was a single dancer. So if you say, well, I didn't touch a woman, I'm good. I just danced with myself in a crowd. Nobody danced with me. Well, we have a situation where we don't have an indication that the girl was ever touched by anybody or she touched anybody, but she danced before them to the pleasure. And therefore the sin comes in because it was an exotic type of dance by all accounts. It was a dance to at least entice, to draw and inflame passions and emotion to get this king to give up half his kingdom. Had to be pretty enticing, huh? He was pretty well moved by it, at least we know that much. So these first three categories, and obviously I'm going to leave out that fourth one with Herodias' daughter. These first three categories, does that justify Christians engaging in modern day dance? The dance of David, the exodus out of Egypt after they cross over the Red Sea, after the slaughter of the Philistines, all God-given commands and God-given directives of God's people that they were celebrating God and praising God for. Does that sound like what we do in modern day dance? Are we out there to fulfill our own desires, our own lusts, to entertain, to please, to be seen? I think that fits the latter more than it does anything, don't you? No matter what type of dance we fall ourselves into. This is not the Christian attitude or the Christian mindset or anything the Christian should be involved with. Individual expression of joy to the Lord is what the dance was, what we talked about in the Old Testament, or David and the whim of Exodus. And it wasn't for the pleasure and fulfillment of man's desires. Unlike Herodias' daughter here, dance for the pleasure of men, to get them to do something they don't normally would do, and to lead them down a path to kill and behead one of God's people, John the Baptist, no less. There's no trace that we can see, that I can find, unless somebody has found it more than I have, of men and women dancing and couples dancing in the scriptures. We all see that. We don't hear that. Good, bad, or indifferent. It wasn't common practice, first of all, for the culture, for the time and the age. So it's clear that what we see and can find, at least what I can find, is women didn't dance with others. They didn't dance with men, typically. And it was still wrong, wasn't it? It was still wrong. They seemed to dance by themselves. There seems to be no trace of the couples dancing. You know, and I tried to look into this a little bit, and there's a little confusion on this, and it's not really important to the lesson here as much. But it seemed to be before the 12th century. It looks like Encyclopedia Britannica says there's no evidence before the 12th century. They think it started around the 12th century, where men and women actually touched and danced in close proximity one to another. Before that, it was mainly women dancing before men. The men would dance also, but it was mainly women. Now, there's some dispute and debate about that, too, and I'm not going to go into all that because that's world history. But the point, it doesn't really impact the fact that what we should and shouldn't be doing. But there are some other evidences that several thousands of years prior, it was in India where that happened. But like I said, that's not the point of the lesson today, and it doesn't matter, because the fact of the sinful nature of dancing is still there and doesn't change that fact. Modern day dance is mentioned in the Bible, that we can tell, through Herodias' daughter. And look what happened. Look where that got them. The other dance, praise to God, jumping for joy. They did it to praise God. They were so excited about God's deliverance, about God's will being fulfilled, about God's love and blessing being bestowed upon them. They just had to jump and scream out. It wasn't to entertain so-and-so over here, or entertain the TV people, or do this, or be judged by it and get scores and get money for it. They couldn't contain their excitement about God's will being fulfilled, or God's word coming true, or God's prophecies and promises being delivered to them. They were so thankful and so excited about God's word, they jumped for joy. So that brings me to the charismatic folks. They want to dance and joy and sing and all this stuff and say they got the Holy Spirit in them. That's not what happened here, folks. They didn't act like this and speak in tongues and start wailing on the floor. And, you know, if you look up dance, one of the things is writhing in pain. So you see somebody get hurt and they start hopping around and rolling on the floor. Ah! It kind of resembles some charismatic folks in their assemblies, doesn't it, in their worships. You know, I did a little dance one time. I wasn't very good at it. Don't want to repeat it. I was in the meat business for many years, and I cut the end of my finger off. I did a little dance. I chopped it clean off. Bone exposed to air is not a good thing, or water, let me tell you that much. There was a pain like you've never felt. I know I jumped about 10 feet high in the air multiple times and hopped around and spun around, twirled. Well, that's also a definition of dance, writhing in pain, like somebody's jumping around. Ah! You know, I got the bone stick out into my finger. I was kind of a little shocked, you know, so I didn't know what I was doing. But it wasn't for the entertainment. Trust me, I was not entertaining anybody. It was painful. But we see that these things are not the same thing the modern dance has. It says these are the sins of lasciviousness. These are the things we should stray away from. Modern dance today is something I don't believe any of our children or grandchildren should be part of. You know, it's going to be tough for some of these young kids, because it's going to be, well, you have to do this. In the name of the teacher, I got to do something the Bible says I shouldn't be partaking in. Let's see. We got to train our kids. We got to train our kids, our grandkids. We need to have a good understanding of it. Because adults, we may have an issue with it. you know, I don't want to just talk to the kids, you know, maybe, well, we're at an event and we just got a slow song. I just want to dance with my wife on my anniversary in the public. There may be things we struggle with that we need to be strengthened on. But these are things we don't hear taught much anymore. We don't hear much on these issues. I can't remember the last time I heard a lesson on dancing, to be honest with you. What to do and what not to do when this comes up. It's been decades, I can tell you that much, for me. Pre-gray. I was young. And so I think it's important we study these things, we learn them, and understand the principle behind it and the sin that goes with it. What is lasciviousness? Well, that definitely falls in this category, doesn't it? We just learned that today. So shall we dance? That's the question. Well, depends on if it's a godly dance of what we describe David did, or is it a worldly dance? I say we have the right to jump for joy and be gleeful and pump our arms and twirl and say yes for godly reasons. I don't believe we have the right to go out, or the scriptural basis to go out and dance before the public to a song that may have immoral lyrics even. You know, that's the biggest part of the thing we hear too. We are not to lusten our hearts after others. Matthew chapter 5 taught us that, didn't it, today? So we can be entertained by dancers, and it's very erotic. They try to entice you. They try to do it for your pleasure, your entertainment. So we can be drawn away in sin, even if we don't participate in the dance. Just be a visual participator. It's wrong to incite lust in others, which is lasciviousness. It's one of the works of the flesh. Galatians 5:19 applies. So whether we're a participant or a viewer, we gotta think about that a minute, don't we? We gotta think, are we entertained by this and why? Why are we watching that? Why are we in this event? Why are we in this arena? Why are we participating? Can I participate? There's the bigger question. Should I? And what does the Bible say about it? You know, Paul says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not and drunkenness and lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill its lust. That's the word I can't say. Parties, banquets, celebrations, get-togethers. That's where most of the time these dances take place, isn't it? You know, I'll make a little comment. Mesa, Arizona. I used to live in Arizona. We drive down Mesa, Arizona. And here's how ridiculous things get. We're driving through town. And the first time I got scared, I jumped. I thought, whoa, what's going on? I thought we were going to get mugged. Mesa, Arizona, driving down, big Mormon community in Mesa. And we're driving down the street. And this guy that looked like Grizzly Adams, beard, dirty, filthy, just raggedy guy, big guy. He's homeless. Come jumping out in front of my car at the stoplight. And I thought, oh, he's going to carjack us or something. Just crazy guy. And just starts dancing. I mean, he was laying down. He was cutting a rug, they call it, or whatever you want to call it. He was in the middle of the street at the crosswalk, just dancing. And we're just laughing. It was just hilarious. It was just, this guy's mentally deranged. That's our first thought. There was no music. He was mentally deranged. Take away the music and look how stupid people look sometimes. You start acting that way. It's like, what's wrong with him? There's something wrong. This guy had no music. He was mental. And he did that day in, day out. You can probably still drive to Mesa, Arizona, pull up to a stoplight, and he'll jump on the crosswalk, start boogieing down. And just, he's a homeless guy. He's mental. But my point is, look how foolish he looked without music. My kids were just rolling. They're going, this guy looks like he's half out of his mind. Well, he was. So you see a room full of people dancing, shut the music off, see if they keep dancing. If they do, look how crazy they look. That's just my little input, just kind of silliness that we see in dance and how the actions, are they that of a grown adult with good sense? Usually not, sometimes. Ecclesiastes 3:4 says, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance. Yes, it says a time to dance. It's talking about jumping for joy, being gleeful in the Lord there. It's a time to leap, to jump, to say, yes, I found salvation. Or yes, the Lord's will has come true. That's the dance we're talking about. There's a time to be excited, and there's a way to be excited. And it's not the way the Lord would produce, the world would produce, or have us to be. But the Bible shows us that example. John 15:11 says, these things I have spoken unto you, that your joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. As Christians, we're to have joy within us. We don't have to go dancing. We don't have to be charismatic and roll around on the floor and scream and yell and speak in tongues or whatever else we're going to do. It says that joy needs to be in us. We have an inward joy. We have a peacefulness about us. bodily expression to express myself really isn't that necessary. It wasn't required of God. It was allowed, and they jumped for joy and glee for the Lord. But it wasn't required. It wasn't asked of us. It wasn't ever shown by Jesus or the disciples to do these things, to show your love for the Lord, or that the Lord has overcome you with the Holy Spirit. Those things are not existent. Indecent body movements, vulgar. He didn't ask us for that. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. Does that sound like we're out dancing in a club at night? If we're doing those things, we shouldn't be in the club, because it's kind of, it just doesn't fit, does it? It doesn't fit. It doesn't fit a Christian if we're supposed to be this and we're out doing that. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace. We're not out at the wildest party and what's those things, those flash mobs now they do and stuff. We're not out there making a spectacle of ourselves. We have peace in our hearts. We have joy in our hearts. 1 Peter 3:4, talking about modest apparel, says, "But let it be a hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price." Meek and quiet spirit. It's a God of the heart. We have joy in our heart. We don't have to dance. We don't have to go to the clubs where you can tell me you're dancing for the Lord all you want. But unless it's like the Bible said, you're jumping for joy because somebody just got baptized, you're all jumping up going, "Yes!" I don't believe you're dancing for the Lord. You're not dancing for the Lord. Last few verses, we'll wrap it up. Luke 6:23 says, "Rejoice in ye that day and leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven, for in the like manner did their fathers under the prophets. Rejoice in the day and leap for joy." Doesn't say dance, crank up the music, let's all celebrate and throw a party. Leap. That falls under dance, didn't it? Yeah, it did, under the definition of what David did and the women of Exodus and the many others. To leap. You're excited. You can't contain it. Doesn't mean we get immoral and start dancing and doing these different dance moves that they're talking about in the modern world. Romans 5:2 says, "By whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of the Lord." We have faith in God. We have grace. We live it. It says, "Wherein you stand." We're not just standing. I'm not bringing that to say that they're not dancing. That means where you're living. We're living in the grace of the Lord. And we rejoice in what? Celebration? Dance? Song? Drinking? Partying? No. In hope of the glory of the Lord. Luke 19:37 says, "And when he was come nigh, even now, at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen." What did they do when they came down from the Mount of Olives? Did they all start dancing? It says they praise God with a loud voice. Now, we can take this lesson and end with that verse right there and just say, look, if we're not doing that, how is dancing helping this? This is what great joy. If we want to say we're doing it because I'm joyful, I'm happy, I'm expressing myself, the Lord says do it with your voice. He shows it by example. The disciples here come down from the Mount of Olives, and with a loud voice, they praise God. It would have been a great time to throw a party, wouldn't it? Would have been a great time to throw a dance. Let's all get down. Let's have a good time. Crank up the music. But no, they began to praise God with a voice instead of dance and sing and music. That was the mindset of the children of God. That's what the children of God should be like. We should be looking to serve God, to praise Him for what He's done, to have joy in our hearts, to have that grace, and to spread the gospel. To participate in dance is not going to spread anything. I don't care if it's square dance or if it's the latest Zumba class or whatever the dances are out there. It doesn't matter. You can put a fancy name on it, a nice, pretty name on it. It's still dance. And I believe the Bible is not pleased with that kind of dance. There's never a situation where the Lord asked us to do that, where we see it was approved. We see where there's dancing in the Old Testament and New Testament alike, where there's joy, there's jumping, excitement, but not this modern dance. Not dancing to the music and the parties and the revelings that come about. So that's my lesson today. Today, we're to have joy in our hearts. We're to have joy. We're to express that joy. Our excitement comes through, yeah, we may show physical excitement, but it's not through dance. It's through speaking loudly the Word of God. That was our example. To remain faithful, speak loudly with joy. Be excited. Be happy. Be glad we're a Christian. Not going, "Oh, man, I can't dance. The Bible says I can't. I can't go clubbing tonight." I've heard that. That's sad. These are Christians, folks. Clubbing. What's that mean? I'm going to go to the bar and dance with a bunch of drunks. I've heard a Christian say that. That's not us. That's not us. A true Christian will speak God's word loudly, proudly, and stay away from these things. You can't spread the gospel in a bar. I'm sorry, you can't. You're going to go to loud music and a drunk and try to reason with a guy that's already had his senses dulled by drinking alcohol? Good luck. Good luck. Not the best environment, probably. So these things are not in a Christian's life. We are to live faithfully and righteously and soberly in this world and live to God. I hope that's something we brought up today that at least you've sparked your memory and remembrance of things you've studied and something we can refresh our memory on. But the excitement and joy we show is in our heart. It's in the outward showing in our voice. It's not in the outward apparel. It's not in the outward body movements. It's not anything else but the joy we show in our commitment and our works to God that we continue to be faithful to Him. The Bible says if you haven't been part or been added to the church, Romans 10:17 says you must hear the word of God. After you've heard it, you must believe what you heard. Hebrews 11:6 says you must believe the word, what you've heard. Luke 13:3 says you must repent of your sins. Every man of sin comes short of the glory of God. He says repent or perish twice in that verse. He repeats that in verse 5. Matthew 10:32-33 says whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father. That's important. In the judgment day, we're going to be standing before Christ. And if he don't know you, guess what? Depart from me. But he says, you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Heavenly Father. Lastly, we're baptized. The Bible tells us we are to be submersed in water. This is not the Church of Christ command, although this church is Christ bears Christ's name and that it was the will of his Father. It is God's will. Mark 16:16 says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. 1 Peter 3:21, the like figure wherein to baptism now doth also save us. Not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but an answer of good conscience towards God. The Lord adds you to the church after this. From your obedience from the heart and your following of the plan of salvation, your confession of Christ, repentance and turning away of your former life and being baptized, it says the Lord in Acts 2:47, adds you to the church. The Lord God puts you in the church because of your obedience and following his will. If you need to get right with the Lord and get added to the church and you've not done so, now's the time. It's open 24/7, but we're going to offer that invitation right now as we stand and sing. You can come forward, make your wishes be known. If you feel you've got something that needs to be cleared publicly and a sin of public nature, you need to get repent prayers of the church and you want to repent of, you can do that also now. If you're uncomfortable coming forward before the group, don't wait. Get with us a minute. Service is over. We'll still be glad to help you. This invitation is open 24/7. Always stand and sing.